John, I've never had the pleasure of working with you, but I have heard so many wonderful comments about you.
Yeah.
Daddy, I have no idea how it's even possible, because every time I get on the ship, somebody goes, have you worked with Daddy, right? You've worked with Daddy, right?
So anyway,
and I think the last time I saw Tom was when he was 16.
Well, it was a long time ago. Yesterday, we were told by somebody that you're an incredible singer. And that you sang, what was the song he sang? I forget now. When a Man Loves a Woman. Albie Rose. Albie was on yesterday telling a story, a great story about you singing When a Man Loves a Woman. And she held a note for like a day and a half. And
it was great. Yeah. It was great. It was on a Norwegian ship.
Yeah. Like back in the days, one of the things that we love to do with this show, and it was, we just kind of stumbled into this. I started it right after the virus came, and John came on as a guest just to help me kill time. Honest to God, John, we're doing a 2-hour show, and in the second hour, we're looking at our watch going,
how much more time?
How much time we got to do here?
Did my watch stop?
It was awful. And then, so what happened is BJ joined the show, Donnie joined the show. We put it on social media just for the hell of it. And then it was exploded. Oceana guests, region guests, NCL staff, captains, everybody. Right. They're all watching the show because what else is there to do anyway? And that's how LB said, you got John Joseph coming on? Wait till I tell you the story about when we sang when a Man Loves a Woman. So we have a good time just talking about it. So question we always ask to start with is, I was on the Serena March 18th when I was told to pack up and go. Were you on a ship? Or were you lucky enough to be home?
I was on a region ship.
You were, okay.
I was on I actually just got off the region ship. I went home, and then I was supposed to get on either another region ship or an Oceania ship. And my agent called me when I got home the night of March 12th and said, you're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
And I said, why? What happened? Oh, they stopped ships or something like that. It all seemed like the Twilight Zone.
Yeah. Still does.
In fact, every day I wake up, it's like, oh, it's still March 13th.
Yep.
I know the CDC just lifted the stuff on the ships, but then they have to do practice runs. They got to get the crew. But I got to tell you, I hope it gets out there sooner than later, because I still talk to a lot of people that want to be out there.
We hear it all the time. We had one of the captains from Oceana, now Regent, Lucia Kristovich, on. He said the ships have been in dry dock getting this new air filtration systems installed,
right,
and all these things put together. But you're right. It's going to take. Well, they just stopped. They extended the no cruising now till December 31st, voluntarily, the cruise line. So it'll be for when this happened, somebody in the know, we thought, told us, think February. This was back in April. Think February. We're thinking February.
Right.
And we didn't believe it at the time. We thought it would be over by September, you know, whatever.
Well, I think the order said no cruising with passengers,
right,
till December 31st.
Yeah.
But they can certainly get their ships ready and get crew on board.
That's what they're doing.
Without the no sail order.
That's what they're doing.
And the problem is a lot of the countries aren't letting people leave, and they're not letting people into this country.
Yeah. Well, I guess,
That is a huge border problem.
But they're
in Canada. Canada's extended until March of 2021. No cruise ships in Canada. Yeah. So if you can't fly out of Canada to join a ship, and a ship can't come in to pick you up, you're out of luck in Canada.
But those rules must be bendable, because we had an Oceana chef on the other day, Farid, who's French, and he flew from France to Eastport, Maine.
Yeah, because he was probably considered, since he was a captain, an essential worker.
He was a chef, but yeah.
Hey, no one's eating on the boat.
Let me tell you something.
And he didn't leave the airport.
Right.
He was plane to plane.
But let me tell you something. Everybody I've talked to told me John Joseph is an essential worker. So when it's time to go back, that should not be a problem.
I wish I was an essential worker.
He lives in Huntington with those taxes. He has to be an essential worker.
Oh, my
worker.
Own, huh? Oh.
John has been trying to convince me for probably 15 years to move to Florida, get rid of this house, stop paying all these taxes, and live like the king that Ferentino lives like.
I live there, I know what it's like.
Yeah.
That was 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Our kids. Oh, Tommy, I don't know if you know this. My daughter actually went to Mommy and Me class with John's daughter.
Yeah.
Is that right? Yeah.
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 Oh, yeah.
That's how far back we go.
Yeah.
In fact, this is how far back we go. Before I ever did one cruise, I think it was back in 94, 95, John was like the king of cruises.
Yep.
He was back to back to back to back. He had the greatest gigs in the world. And so needless to say, when I got my first cruise, which was on the SS Norway, I said, I got to call John. He's got to tell me. I don't know anything about a ship.
Yeah.
And I remember going over to John's house, and I swear to God, in his kitchen, he had either boarding passes or flight tickets stuck in every frame of every part of the kitchen. And I looked around. I said, John, what are all these things? Well, I got a fly to here. I got a fly to Barbados. And I got a fly here. I'm in the middle of doing Crosby, Stills, and Nash. I got a fly here. He was doing 1,000 ships. He was opening up for Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young. And I'm sitting there going, geez, what's it like to do this? And he literally gave me a lesson on ships.
There you go.
I sat at the kitchen table. And John goes, it's not like that, man. That's not how it is. He goes, I'm telling you, you're the person on the ship. And in those days, when you were an entertainer and you went on those ships, if you had a good act, you were like the king of the world.
Yep.
Yeah.
Until that ship came back to port, you were the king of the world. Those people would not leave you alone.
Yep.
But now I bring spray. I make sure no one comes near me.
Now you work. I've never worked Crystal, and you know, Jimmy Travis and I've talked about it. You know, I said, Jimmy, I always want to work Crystal because I've never worked it. He goes, why do you want to work it? You're on Oceania. Just stay over there. You'll like it. They always say that the audiences are tough, but I see you on Crystal all the time.
I'm on Crystal all the time, and here's the funny thing about Crystal, and you guys will all relate to this because you're all very experienced cruise people. I had a booklet this big when my agent called me years ago for my first Crystal gig. She goes, look, they want you to get on in Copenhagen, off in Helsinki, whatever it was. She goes, but there's rules on Crystal.
Yes, there are.
And I said, well, everybody has rules. She goes, no, but they got rules. She goes, I'm going to send you the rules. And it took me a day and a half to download the rules. I got about this thick. Don't talk to the audience. Don't touch the audience. Don't go near the audience. Don't say anything about this. Don't say anything about that. So I said to my agent, I said, listen, there's no point in me doing this gig.
Yeah.
Why am I going to go? They're going to hate me because half my act is based on talking to people and then putting it in a song at the end of the show.
Yeah.
You know, and she says, look, just do the gig. It'll be one gig. I went and did the gig. I was on with Karen Granger.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she was a regular on Crystal, and Michelle Bell, who was a great singer.
Oh yeah, from the Fifth Dimension.
Fifth Dimension.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, wonderful guy, wonderful singer. And I'll never forget it. I went on and did my show, and for 5 minutes, I tried to follow the rules. Nah. And then somebody said something. What am I going to do?
Hey. He talked first.
Oh, no. I have to put him in the act. I have to make him part of the act. So from then on, all these, and I got to tell you, they have, you know how the crowd is on Oceania Region?
Mm-hmm.
Like, these are people that you could hang out with, have lunch, have dinner. They're all the greatest people in the world.
Yeah.
I'm not, it's not Carnival, put it that way. Yeah. And I have nothing against Carnival, but it's a very different clientele. Well, it's that clientele plus $1 million on Crystal. And these people have spent their whole lives having people yes them to death. Oh, yes, Mr. This, or yes, Mrs. That, or yes, this, and yes, that. And I was the total opposite. I just went on there and ripped everybody apart.
I'm jealous.
And they loved it. And when I flew home, I literally flew from Helsinki to Amsterdam, had to change planes in Amsterdam. By the time I got to Amsterdam, I had 8 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, nice.
Offered on Crystal. Nice. And this was like 9 years ago.
Nice. Yeah.
So I always believe this. Funny is funny is funny. Any audience, you should be able to play to, like Ferentino can play to a 10-year-old and he can play to a 9-year-old, to a 90-year-old. They're still going to get the act. They're still going to enjoy it.
They better. You know? They better.
Exactly.
Otherwise, John will unleash it once and for all.
But I, like right now, it's so funny. And John, how many times are you on a ship going, oh my God, these people are so old. They're not going to relate to anything. I can't say that anymore. You know why? You see these glasses?
Yeah.
Do you know why I have these glasses? I bought these glasses to find these glasses. Do you understand what I'm saying? So
yep.
I can't say anything to anybody anymore. I mean, I watch these people. I used to complain about people walking really slow to the buffet. I remember on the Queen Mary, I used to do this joke. This guy's on his way to the buffet. He left Sunday when we left port. You know, he's still walking. Well, now it's me. I'm walking to the buffet and I'm going, oh my God, I'm my own joke. How can I live like this? How can I function when I wake up in the morning and everything hurts for no reason whatsoever? John, there used to be days we used to go from club to club to club. You remember those days on Long Island? You go to the brokerage, go to Governor's, go to this place, that place, then go to the city and go do sets. Let me tell you something. I go up those stairs to my kitchen, I got to sit down.
That's why you need to live in Florida, no steps.
Yeah, no steps, low taxes.
No, oh, look, there's people.
You and Tom have a lot in common. John's a major Yankee fan, too.
Yeah, so am I. So am I.
Oh, Tommy, you're a big Yankee fan?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
good. John, we need a new catcher.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean,
I know the guy. I know the guy.
Yeah. Yeah, really?
They won't. Well, he's. We're talking about Gary Sanchez. He's playing winter ball. He's playing winter ball. Maybe that'll help. I don't know. So is Andujar. He's playing winter ball. But how about this deal with? We'll talk Yankees for a minute. Letting LeMahieu become a free agent because I guess they figure they're going to buy him on the open market. Well, they gave him a qualifying offer, but they say he's not going to accept it, $18 million. Plus, we need pitching. So, seriously, need pitching.
Well, of course, who would accept $18 million when you're a hitter like LeMahieu?
Yeah, that's right. You're right. I mean,
he's going to make a lot more money than $18 million, and he's going to get it from the Yankees. They're not going to let him go.
I would agree. For those people who don't know, he won the batting title in the National League and the American League, which is not
– yeah.
You know, he's, yeah,
I just
good.
Got a text from Zabrowski saying, breaking news on the election. The first time in history, they're going to let them both run the country from a nursing home.
Are we talking about the Jeff Zabrowski that can't use Zoom? That Jeff Zabrowski?
Yeah, that's who we're talking about.
Hey, John.
How's Jeff doing?
We try to get him on all the time. He refuses to come on until after the election. Don't ask me why.
Well, every Friday.
He's always got an excuse. He can't come on because he's got to do his hair. He can't come on because he's got
he
this.
Can't do he, Zoom.
He can't do Zoom. Caroline's not around to hook him up with the Zoom.
Well, I usually have my daughters, when I do a Zoom show or something, I got one of my daughters here telling me, Dad, no, you have to move back. No, you have to use this light.
Yeah.
Now they're not here. They're in the city. So I'm sitting here with my telephone and a flashlight.
It works good, though. Looks better than BJ, because he's got a bad breaker. Speaking of the city, I know you're at the Comedy Cellar all the time. They still not haven't reopened. Am I right, or are they open?
The restaurant upstairs is open, but the Comedy Club hasn't. They haven't opened any clubs in the city,
yeah.
Which is why we're at 1.3%,
yeah.
You know,
yeah,
because they don't want anybody near anybody. You know, we're kind of trapped. But I'm hoping... If you read that 40-page War and Peace document from the CDC about ships cruising again, one of the things was they want rapid testing for getting on and getting off.
Right.
You know, which, listen, we've been saying this forever. They just have to do it, and it's also an investment.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they're going to have to invest to get back on the road, you know.
Which they're doing.
It's a great idea. If you walk into the terminal, take a rapid test, and you have nothing, you go on the ship, okay. Next.
No. And we mentioned it this morning, Dottie's travel update. Viking Cruises put an actual laboratory on their ship now, a COVID-19 testing center where they can actually, I guess that would be the longer, not the rapid tests, it would be the longer one, the spike up the nose.
That's for during the cruise, but no, you have to come with a certified test result.
Yeah.
And then probably the rapid test before you get on, and then that's during right. the cruise.
Now I've never had that.
That's a regular lab.
I'll be stupid. The rapid test, is it like a pregnancy test? If it turns yellow, you got it. If it turns green, I don't know how it works. Does it have to be put in a machine? Does somebody have to? Anybody know? Nobody knows. Okay, look it up.
There's a 12-hour. My daughter takes them before I go pick them up to bring them home for something. But the rapid test is like 12 hours.
Okay.
Right. Now, there's also rapid tests, which I think Dottie's referring to on Viking. They have that. What is it? PC what?
PC.
PC.
Whatever it is.
Yeah.
They have it, but they also have 15-minute rapid testing.
Yeah, that's the one I'm thinking of.
That's what Viking has, and that basically works like a pregnancy test. You spit saliva into
15
it.
15 minutes.
You shake it.
Yeah.
You look at it. If it turns blue, you're pregnant.
There you go. or you're screwed. And that's what happened with the White House, right? That super spreader event. They all took that. You go across the street into a government building, and you line up all these rich people, and you take this test, and if you clear it, then you go back across the street and you can go to the party. But I guess it's not always effective because a few people had it, got it, whatever. So
but you have to realize that since this has been going on for the last 8 months, you know, 8 months ago we were in the dark, nobody knew anything about this.
Yeah.
Now we're at least at the point where if they don't have treatment and vaccines to totally end it at this point, they're certainly coming up with them, first of all. And second of all, they're also coming up with much better rapid testing.
Yeah, I agree.
When they did the antibody tests before they had the COVID tests, they were doing antibody tests to see if you had antibodies. 50% of them were wrong.
Yeah.
So they were just learning how to do these things. Then they got by that and they figured out how to give a 12-hour test and then a 15-minute test. And now, of course, depending on the company and the old adage, you get what you pay for.
Mm-hmm.
That's how good a rapid test is going to be.
Well,
you know,
and
you
that
one for $2, it'll probably be wrong. You get one for $10, it's probably going to be right.
I get mine at Dollar General. It's not quite as effective as Quest, but I'm on a budget.
The problem is that there's, like with the testing, is that there's so many false negatives.
Yeah,
there's less false positives than false negatives. That's the problem,
What I've been saying for so long, the hotel industry, the amusement park industry, the resort industry, the airline industry, they're all working. They all have issues to deal with. The cruise industry put together that no sail panel between Royal Caribbean and NCL. They have a 74 things that they have to do, checklist that they have to
right.
do. So they deserve a chance to try. And you know what? Absolutely. So hopefully that's what's going to happen. And we don't hear anything other than, they have to staff everybody, and that's going to take time because you have to find people, right. You have to find people that want to come back to work too, some of them, because they were stranded for a while. You know, we got home. We drove home. We have a friend. He's a captain on MSC. He got so aggravated, he struck a deal with MSC, had a private jet, and he split the cost of a private jet, and he flew.
You gotta be kidding.
He goes, it was 4 months of my salary.
he flew. He was flying in the United States. So, but it was like a 10-seater private jet. They took him right from the ship to the private jet. He got on it and flew where he wanted to go, and that was that. But I don't know about anybody else, but our income doesn't allow for a private jet. We had another. You probably know Tammy and Andy
Tammy
Heath.
And
Did
Andy
you ever
Heath?
Work with Tammy and Andy Heath on Regent?
Yeah,
yeah,
love them.
Yeah, they got off the ship in California. And they had two Russian drivers, believe it or not. They had a van waiting for them, and they got in the van with these two Russian drivers because they weren't allowed to stop And they drove him straight through to Kansas, right?
And the
Russian guys were thrilled. They'd never been to Kansas before. So as soon as they got there, as soon as they got to the house, Andy's house, they had to take a picture of them at the house.
A timestamp photo, remember? So that they knew that they didn't stop at all.
Meanwhile, people are coming back. It's just crazy sometimes how it goes.
Scary.
But if you wanted to, you could get home, but you have to do it. You have private transportation, so it's crazy.
You know, New York said they were going to quarantine 39 states. Every day it changes.
Yeah.
My daughter went to Charlotte to go see her friends. On the plane coming back to New York, they made her fill out a thing for tracers.
Yeah.
You know, to follow her around in case anything happened. And they said, you have to quarantine for 14 days. This was about 3 months ago. You have to quarantine for 14 days. She got back to LaGuardia Airport, went back to her apartment, never heard from anybody again. So she could have done anything she wanted, you know.
Well, they don't even, sometimes they didn't even collect the paper.
No.
There's nobody there.
John was telling the story. His aunt was flying back from Florida, and American Airlines, at first it sounded like you had to have it, but they have a deal with a company that you can get a COVID-19 test for whatever it costs. And if it's negative, then when you arrive in New York or Newark, you don't have to quarantine because you passed the test. But the reality is, when you arrive in New York anyway, you sign a piece of paper and say, yeah, I'm going to quarantine until Tuesday. I got to go somewhere.
Here's the thing about testing. If you get tested at 8 o'clock on a Wednesday and then the test comes back Friday and you go on a cruise Saturday, oh, here's my slip for testing.
Yeah.
Every hour after you got tested, you could get it.
Yeah.
So the testing, that kind of testing is worthless. Viking has the right idea. I'm sure Oceana and Regent and everybody that wants to sail is going to come up with rapid testing. They're going to do the best they can. I'm not saying all rapid testing is going to be 100%, but that's the best they can do. When people come into the terminal, you get tested. Okay, you can go on the ship. When you leave the ship on your way out, you get tested, and then we can let you out onto the streets.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? Yep. That's the best that we can do.
And even then, it's not foolproof, but it's how you deal with it when you get a case. And so, I don't know, it's way above my pay grade. But I
know Bermuda's not letting anybody in. They didn't even let the gay cruise in.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's Bermuda. And don't get me started on that place. Bermuda and Grand Cayman have an elevated opinion of themselves that's not well deserved, in my opinion.
Exactly. What ship was it, Dottie? You'll remember. Remember we made they made the ship bigger. What was it? The Sea
Norwegian Dream.
The Dream.
And the Wind.
Because we couldn't accommodate all the people that wanted to go to Bermuda. And the first season we went to Bermuda, they came and said, oh, no, you're not letting all these other people in. You got to sell with the original amount before you expanded the ship. After they spent millions of dollars to expand the ship.
Yeah, now
there'll be too many people. There'll be too many people here.
Yeah.
Shut up. That's what you survive on.
Yep. Well.
You know, Key West passed the law.
Yeah.
Yesterday.
Did it pass?
I hadn't looked at the reports.
Oh, it passed.
No more big cruise ships in Key West. Has to be 1,300 passengers or less.
No, that we're okay. Well, Oceana's okay. Regent's okay.
It will block their precious sunset.
Crystal,
shut up. No,
well, listen.
Yeah, but you've got to sail before sunset.
Right, but
anyway.
You never used to have to either.
Yeah,
well, yeah. Sometimes ships stayed there till like 1 a.m.
Yeah,
it's. Somewhat...
I remember.
Go ahead, John.
I had a. I love Key West. It's one of my favorite places. But I remember years ago, I was on a royal ship. And, you know, I get my plane ticket and everything. And I said, I get to Key West at 3 o'clock. Oh, yeah, the ship's overnighting. They're there till 7 at night. I said, okay, well, that's cutting it close in the days when we used to cut it close.
Yeah.
Well, sure enough, I get there. I get to Miami. I take my little plane. I get to Key West. I land plenty of time, 3 o'clock. I get out, I get into a cab. I go, please take me to the grandeur of the seas. And he goes, well, I can't bring you back in time. I said, what are you talking about? He goes, that ship left at 7 o'clock this morning.
Oh, yeah. I've had to
overnight.
I called the office. Hello. And she goes, I was just going to call you.
Yeah.
I said, so what do you want me to do? Well, we're going to fly you to New Orleans for 3 nights until the ship comes to New Orleans. Well, I said, how about this? Fly me home for 3 nights and then fly me to New Orleans. Okay, we'll do that.
That'd be a lot cheaper. Well, you know,
yeah, it was.
Key West to me, when I saw all that, I'm laughing because, you know, when you get off the ship at 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning, there's nothing like the smell of the streets after they hosed them down. You know what I mean? But we don't want those people from the ships. We don't want those people. God almighty.
The best time I ever had in Key West was there was a storm coming, and we pulled in there at like 7 o'clock at night, and we did an overnight. And man, it was great. An overnight in Key West.
Yeah.
A lot better than walking around seeing the same t-shirt in every store at 8 in the morning.
That's for sure.
Yeah, I've never done an overnight there. Oh, I've had maybe
fun.
Like a 7 o'clock departure, but
no, it's fun. It's fun.
I have a question. And how many places in the world have you had a cup of coffee?
2,672.
I should let people know. On Facebook, when John posts a picture on Facebook, he's usually somewhere with a Yankee hat having a cup of coffee with another entertainer that sometimes...
With that charming, smiley look on his face. I always say, every time I comment, I go, cheer up, for God's sake.
You know,
and John's daughter's also an actress.
You know, I see that sometimes and post it on Facebook. She's doing well, right?
She does very well. Well, right now, there's no... acting, but she gives private dance lessons and she's doing really good with them.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. You know,
well, let's not talk about daughters.
Yeah, I know. You know,
when I saw John's daughter when she was little, do you remember the time she crashed through the door? Glass door?
No. She fell on a Snapple bottle. And almost cut her hand off. She was like 19 months.
Oh, yeah, she was a kid.
Yeah.
Well, we went from that kid to like one of the greatest writers in Broadway history.
Explain that to me. She's phenomenal.
And obviously, you can see how it skips a generation.
She like Tom will tell you, she's been on, but she can't talk about anything.
There are too many deals going on. Can't talk about them.
She's like in the witness protection program of contracts.
Well, you know, she's a prolific writer, and that's a great thing to have, to be able to wake up every day and you want to write. Because, you know, it's an awful thing. I hate it. I do it when I have to. When Dottie tells me I need 20 more minutes, 15 more minutes, we're short of show, I have to do it. But other than that, and I said to John, your daughter's written like 237 plays. We've had the same act for 25 years. What happened?
Right now, I talked to her yesterday. She's got 8 projects that she's working at the same time.
That's too much.
And I go, how do you do that? And she goes, one day it's this. The next day it's this one. I do it. That's why I do it. Each day I do a different project.
But you know,
unless
you get on like a brainstorm.
Yeah, go ahead, John, sir.
Sorry.
Nobody's getting on stage.
No,
it doesn't matter. She's doing movies. That's why.
Yeah,
she's doing movies.
Even those are hit and miss. They start filming. Batman closed down in the middle of filming. A couple of my friends were doing a film, middle of filming, it shut down. You know. What happened?
We just launched a video, but we saw the picture. That's the classic photo with the Yankees hat and the sunglasses, but everything.
And the smile.
And everything with the cup of coffee.
All right.
I'll tell you what. I said this to John yesterday. You know, I've been doing the ships a long time, just like you. John's longer than me. Dottie's 31 years. And, you know, you get out there. We're lucky. We work together. So we really have it made. But, you know, we got home in March, and I go, this isn't so bad. We're going to be home. But now, you know, like we've had a lot of the chefs on from the culinary arts department, all the chefs that cook in the cooking center, and they're right. talking about in Italy, we go do this and we go get vegetables. And I'm starting to think Italy sounds pretty good this summer, you know, or we're talking about Alaska, you know, suddenly Alaska's not so bad when it's 100 degrees in August. And I'm actually starting to miss it. And the other part of it is getting on stage because, you know, we have fun doing this, but it's not the same as. You know, John Peasy's doing a show. Martling is on, what, 39 shows now, telling jokes?
Yeah.
Jackie's with us every Friday. He comes on, thanks to John, he comes on at 11:30. Jackie wants to come on ships and be a comedian. So,
right.
And so he's telling Dottie jokes he thinks he can do on a cruise ship. Come on. And
we decided the only way he's going to really do a cruise ship and they do a Jackie Martling theme cruise.
Yeah. Yeah. There's nothing, you know, it was supposed to be 10 jokes. And one day it was what? 2 days he was here.
32.
Yeah. He goes, wait, this is it. John Yelfrey said, he goes, I call him up and I go, yeah, you know, maybe you come on. Can you do this joke on a cruise ship? You know, you do 5 jokes. And he goes, yeah, I can do 7. And then the next day he sends me an email going, yeah, 12 would be fine, right? Or 15?
Yeah.
And then for a while it was like, he'd get on, he would do like 30 jokes.
32.
He's great. We have I wasn't a comedian when I saw Jackie for the first time. And that's why I said, I want to do what he's doing. Maybe not those jokes, but I want to do what he's doing. So it's fun. But then he's done telling the jokes. And then who's that guy he always talks about? Effie?
Yeah, Epi.
We hear Epi stories of some bar owner in Long Island. And Peter Bales.
My father's place.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And Peter Bales is here. So Bales, the next thing you know, and I just sit.
And Mike Grieve.
And I just sit here. I just sit here and listen because, you know, I'm like, it's like Broadway Danny Rose. I'm on the outside listening to these woodsy stories and, you know, Hawthorne stories. And I don't know that anybody is left listening to the show. Or watching the show because they don't know who the hell Woodsy is or Hawthorne. Come on, you know. And I just sit back and we just kind of smile. And we call it Comics Corner. And a couple weeks ago, Minervini came in. So he joined in because all we ever hear about is Minervini and Martling, you know, being partners. But because Martling had the equipment. And that's how that worked in the beginning. So it's always a lot of fun. So anyway.
Minervini's the one that started me in this fiasco because I was just a bar singer in, John, you know, the clubhouse across the street,
right next
the oldie
to the street, yeah.
I was playing at the steakhouse, the clubhouse at the piano bar with my guitar and just playing some songs.
Was it Joe Michaels?
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, Joe Michaels was the other one. Oh. Wow, that's a blast from the past.
Wow.
And Richie used to come over to watch me make up songs about people. And one day somebody was playing at the East Side. They needed an opening act. And Richie came over and said, listen, do 10 minutes across the street. I said, oh, but what?
He came on and went, oh, John, I really screwed up. We really need somebody.
He goes, you're not going to believe this. Zabrowski fell off his bike. He hurt his chin. He can't come. He was an open for me. I can't believe it. 2 weeks ago. So that's how I started. I went in there then. And that's when I first met way back when, like in
you worked 84. Also there as a doorman for when you weren't right in between sets or something, when you used to run back and forth in between his song sets. He was helping Richie out at the door.
I was sweeping the floor. I was doing everything.
It was our clubhouse.
I hear the stories. Judd Apatow was the dishwasher, but Richie didn't think he'd ever amount to anything, and I hear all the Eddie Murphy and stories and everything else. It was a great time in comedy, you know.
Hear the story, you know why it was so great too back then, because there was no middle act, headliner, opening act. Everyone was the same. You know, we were all at the same level. So they'd go, "Who wants to MC tonight? Who wants to close? Who wants to?" You know,
yeah.
It was more like that kind of thing. So it was no competition among your friends. Everybody was the same.
Oh. You
know? It was like a team and everybody wanted the other guy to get a home run.
Nice.
Yeah, it was really,
yeah.
But
no matter where you worked that night, you ended up back at the East Side. You know, everybody, bars in New York were up until 4 o'clock in the morning. So you just sat around telling you think your gig was bad tonight, listen to mine. You know, it was one of those deals.
If I hear one more time a story of Jackie Marlin peeing on the windshield, turning the wipers on a long trip while everybody's sleeping. I think Richie's told that 3 times.
and then Peter told the same story.
Yeah. And the Barbara Eaton story. John, we'll get out of here because we're already taking too much of your time. We're always over time. Great conversation. I know a lot of people from Oceania region watch us, and I'm sure they're thrilled. We'll get messages from our crew just saying, good to see John, good to see John. Everybody likes to find out how everybody's doing.
I can't wait to see them again.
Yeah, Tommy,
hurry up, get the ships together.
Yeah, and we weren't scheduled together. Something happened, but I saw your name on the schedule, and I was excited that we're actually they seldom schedule two comics. Catherine doesn't want to do that. So, which doesn't make sense to me because we're totally different. And people love comedy. Comedians, frankly, comedy magicians draw the biggest audiences. I argue sometimes with the entertainment directors who say it's a production show. I say, no, it's not. It's the comedy. It doesn't matter what comedy magician, comedy juggler, stand-up. It's always the comedy. They don't want to hear it. So, Johnny can test. So hopefully we get together when the dust settles.
When the dust settles. Cross your fingers for 2021.
Yeah, get back to normal.
The ships be sailing again.
Yeah, get back to normal. Eat good. Two shows, you know. I never thought I could say two shows every 10 days and a nice meal. Hang out with the guests.
Well, for a while it's going to be four shows every 10 days, but still.
It will be. Four shows to small crowds. I would imagine they're going to put people like 20 rows, not 20 rows, but 25 feet back from the stage, something like that, just to be safe.
It's so good for comedy.
Huh? Well, yeah. Listen, I don't know.
At that point, it doesn't matter. You'd be so happy to be in front of an audience. You don't care if they're 100 feet back.
And if you worked Holland America in the past, you're used to a little silence every now and then.
If you work Holland America, you could have people in the first 20 rows. It doesn't matter.
I can't.
Holland America was great because I could do the same show five times. They never remembered.
Hello. All right, we'll get you out of here. Thank you, John. I really appreciate the time, and I know everybody watching
Thank
did
you,
too.
John,
Tom,
nice
thanks
to
for
you.
Having me. Dottie, a pleasure to meet you. Ferentino, you know. Another day in paradise, baby.
All right, we'll see you later.
We don't go back. Florida's still calling you.
Come down. See you, John. Thanks so much.
With Tom Drake,
have a great day.
Legendary comedy magician John Ferentino, the producer Dottie. Make sure to listen
the
every
clothes,
Monday through
BJ.
Friday at 10 a.m. Plus, if you missed any of today's big broadcast, download from Podcast Central or today's video after 2 on the World Wide Web at VestedSeaRadio.com. I'm the voice of Vested Sea Radio, BJ Odom. Till next time, see ya.
Thanks again, John. All the best.
Jackie Wilson said, it was written to you. Kind of love you got, knock me off my feet. Let it all hang. Oh, let it all hang. Let it all hang out. Watch this.
disgusted. Start thinking that I'm strange.